Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRE Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRE Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRE staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic we've discussed this week?
I want to talk about the importance of the alignment of your resume to both your digital footprint, but also to what you talk about during the interview. Seems like a very simple topic. Most people are probably thinking, oh, this is boring. I want to turn it off. Don't turn it off, y'all. We're going to tell some stories about individuals that have been in this industry for decades that made some major face plants this week as it relates to this alignment not being in place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. This is a really hot topic. Fresh off the press this week.
Exactly.
So, yes, stay tuned. So, okay, wonderful. Let's talk about resume editing then and how maybe some pieces, some ways that we cannot look fraudulent from the get-go. Maybe fraudulent's a tough word, but resume editing to make sure that it's most accurate and up to date and relevant. Let's start there.
Well, I think go ahead, Carrie. Yes, talk, Miss Carrie.
So, well, we just had a question this morning saying this person went from the site and all of a sudden they're working for a sponsor as a CPM. Is that even possible? Making sure that you show any type of foundational growth in order to get to a management position from a sponsor, because that typically doesn't happen. You don't go from the site, you know, to working for an industry company with that type of title change. So that could potentially look fraudulent. So make sure that you kind of understand that jump and be very clear and careful in the titles that you use. If you really weren't managing projects, then don't list that you're managing projects.
Well, and even
mention that you're an
title.
In-house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Even if it is your title, I think sometimes people get so hung up on the formality of a resume, and especially the formality of LinkedIn. You guys, LinkedIn doesn't have to be as formal as a resume. It needs to be professional, but it doesn't have to be as formal. Explain it. I was given an opportunity because I think the situation that you're talking about, the company did mostly observational studies. So that leap is not as much of a leap whenever you're moving from a site to a sponsor that does mostly observational study, because then being able to help develop monitoring plans and even protocols for observational studies is not the same rigor. And so that but if the hiring entity doesn't research that company and doesn't understand that sponsor is observational instead of interventional, you're exactly right. They're going to go, wait, how did you do this? And in such an employer-driven market, if you don't explain it, you know, take a moment to explain it. I had a wonderful opportunity from this sponsor who needed someone with my skills to come in and help design protocols for observational study because my background was dot, 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 dot. Put it on there. You know, this whole myth of a one-page resume is silly, and it's tying people's hands behind their backs because they're not able to tell their story. They need to tell their story.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And another thought on that topic is when CRAs on their resume just suddenly their first oldest position on their resume is contract CRA. And or contract senior CRA. And you're like, wait, how did you just out of nowhere become a contract CRA? I mean, we want to make sure that you have some good foundations if you've got them. It just looks a little strange. How did you learn to be a CRA? Where were you before? It just looks like, you know, you don't want to look like you came out of one of these fake programs that just suddenly you were a truck driver one day and then became a CRA. That's sort of, you know, recruiters scare easy. That's sort of where we jump to, but definitely have your foundations there. Let us know a little bit more backstory. Now, if you've been a CRA for 20 years, 25 years, I understand not wanting to dig way back in the day, listing everything you did before that. But if you were a coordinator first, yes, and ageism can be an issue for sure. But if you do have those foundations, something like a coordinator or a research nurse or even just a regular nurse, any kind of medical background, lab background, whatever it would be to place you in the medical field or the research field, just give us at least one thing before that, so that we know and everybody knows that you didn't just start out of nowhere. We want to see those foundations if you got them.
Jenny, you look like you were about to bust to say something there.
Oh, Becky already said it.
But ageism is a real thing, isn't it? And I certainly understand where some folks that have the decades of experience are a little squeamish about showing their foundations as a large CRO back in the 80s. I totally get that. But that's where a cover letter maybe comes into play, or perhaps even in your professional summary, you state, you know, when I graduated college, I earned foundations at a large CRO and decided to start my own company as an independent consultant in whatever date, you know, to where it doesn't, you don't necessarily have to show all of the dates if you're worried about ageism. I know that sometimes we fine tune the individuals that we're representing, we fine tune their resumes to strip off some of those older dates. I'd like to think none of our clients practice ageism, but I think sometimes it's an unconscious thing. You know, they look at it and they think their great aunt can't lift they have a great aunt that there's no way she's lifting her suitcase up above her head to put into the compartment of the airplane. How can you do it? Right. So, I mean, there is that wiring that's already inbred into people's brains. Right. So we do what we can to protect that, too. But you can't leave those parts of your story out at the detriment to your story. You've got to be able to still articulate your story.
Mm-hmm. Even if it was just past experience, like you can start off where you want to start off on your resume, but underneath that, say past experience includes, mm-hmm. list your different titles, worked at the site as this. I mean, they don't even need to put the dates at that point.
That's a point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your foundations for sure.
So yeah. We've talked about titles. We've talked about employments in the past. How about current contracts? Do we need someone who's been a contract CRA for, you know, several years, do we need them to list all of their contracts on their resume?
No. But, and this was the face plant that happened this week. It was a gal that we placed 6 times. Wonderful monitor. We put her in front of a client. We talked to her about what the position was. The client had some very specific questions as it related to the systems that the CRA had used in the past. And the CRA started talking about her experiences at an assignment that was not on her resume. So it drives me crazy, right? Because then this gal who's the head of clinical at this company comes to me and says, I have a concern about this gal's resume. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why? What happened? Right? Because we're all so ultra sensitive right now with people having crooked pencils that I'm like, oh my gosh. She said, no, it's nothing fraudulent. It's just she's talking about all these experiences that she says she's got, and they're relevant to the job that I need filled, but they're not on her resume. So I think the moral of the story here is if it's important enough for you to talk about, it needs to be on your stupid resume. Otherwise, don't talk about it because it could cause fraudulence. Now, this particular executive knows us. You know, she was pretty sure that there's no way a fraudulent candidate could slip through. Not necessarily true. No one's perfect. I mean, we try very hard. But I mean, you know, people are pretty slick about that nowadays. But at the end of the day, if you're applying for a job, a specific job, it's a specific therapeutic, they use specific software, electronic systems, and you're going to talk about your experiences related to that job, you need to tailor your resume to make sure that that information is on your resume. Because if you're going to be asked to talk about it in the interview and it's not on the resume, now you've just shed doubt on your experiences and on the validity of the experiences that you're talking about.
You can't list some contracts and then not other contracts. If you're going to list them, you need to list them. If you're not going to list them, then don't list them. I mean,
yes,
it's confusing.
It's hard, isn't it? I mean, in this case, this gal has been in the industry for a really long time. I think her resume would be like 30 pages if she listed all of her contracts. And I think that's a turnoff to some clients because they think, oh my gosh, look at all of this work. I mean, does she ever stay anywhere? Some companies and some HR professionals don't understand the nature of consulting and that contracts by the nature of the beast might be short. So you're right. I mean, Carrie, if you've only been in the industry as a consultant for 4 or 5 years, listing all your contracts makes sense. But if you've been a consultant for like 20 years, it might not. so then list, here's a sampling of my contracts that relate to the position that I'm talking to you about. List that on your resume. You mm-hmm. you know, and you can pull that from a spreadsheet that you keep track of. I think, you know, and most of the CRAs that we work with that have been in the industry for years have a spreadsheet where they talk about all of the indications and all of the therapeutics they have and the types of studies it was. And so, you know, it's easy. You just go grab it and that's what you plunk on your resume. You know, you put it in the table that is sortable on your Excel so that you're not having to retype anything. But I think it's important to list it if it's relevant to the job that you're being presented for.
Spreadsheet's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because there are so many CRAs that are like, I can't quite remember. There's nothing that turns a recruiter off quicker than mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Yeah, when it comes to either your employments or your therapeutics too, because, you know, if we're wanting to represent you for a, say, phase one oncology job or something, and you're like, oh yeah, I did some phase one a while back, can't really remember, but I did it, you should represent me for this job, we're gonna think twice about it. Because if you can't articulate your skills that are applicable to this job, what are you gonna say in the interview when you're asked about it? You know, oh yeah, I did that, just trust me, I can't remember the details, I don't remember how long ago or what the indication was, but I did it. You know, and we see this a lot from seasoned CRAs, ones mm-hmm. that have been in the biz a long time.
This
they think they don't have
Natalie's too, isn't it?
I hear yes. you groaning in the background,
biggest
Natalie.
Pet peeve. Especially if they know they're going to be speaking to a recruiter about a phase one or, you know, a specific indication or therapeutic. You should have had your stuff up before you got on the call with me or whomever you're speaking with. So, yeah, it is a big.
Well, and I can't remember if he was your candidate or not, but we had a gentleman not too long ago that kept saying, yeah, I've got all this phase one, I've got all this phase one, I've got all this phase one, but it wasn't on his resume. So before Becky presented him for the position, she went back to, I can't remember which recruiter it was, and said, he needs to have this on his resume. He submitted an updated resume, still didn't have it on there. So he's telling us he's got all this phase one, but then he's not putting it on his resume. And that, I mean, that made us a little squeamish.
Absolutely. Yeah. If we can't quantify it at our level, how is the client going to know that you had that other than taking your word for it? And these days it needs to be, you need to be buttoned up all the way around in your brand and your experience. And I think this leads into our next topic a little about linking your resume to your digital footprint, maybe touching a little bit on branding, but about how to find you out there in the wild, you know, and how that information links to your resume. Let's talk about that.
Well, and I know that Maya, she's one of our newest team members, and she's learning how to do the digital footprint analysis. And I think she's in love with the detective work. But she asked even a great question today is, you know, do articles and citations on like ResearchGate, are those valid? And they absolutely are. I think the biggest challenge is whenever you're telling your story, it's not just about your LinkedIn and your resume. You've got to look at everything else that comes together to show your passion and your knowledge and your experience within the industry. Here's the challenge. You know, we've got one of our sourcers who has, she's, of course, you know, not originally from this country, and she has an American name. Her daughter has an American name. They go by other names within their own culture. And I know that that happens a lot across the United States. The challenge there is if you've got some citations in a different name, like your given name, but then you go by Ben or Bob or Mai or Angela or whatever here, then the two are not going to map in your digital footprint. And it's going, if there's no digital footprint in today's market, we're not going to move you forward. I don't care if you walked on water yesterday. I can't corroborate that on the digital footprint. And if you've got 15 years of experience, there should be something out there that quantifies that somewhere. Even if it's a research project that you did when you were a coordinator somewhere, or you're on clinicaltrials.gov or something. And so if you're using a different name on your resume than you are in the citations, it's going to make it really hard for you to be found. And women, when you change your last name, when you get married, it is so difficult to find you then. So somehow make sure that you're mapping to that, either on your resume in parentheses or on LinkedIn in parentheses, especially if you're a consultant. If you're perm, it's a little bit different, but if you're a consultant, that's your business. You're building your brand. And if I build my brand as Angela Roberts and then I change my last name, you guys are, it's going, well, what happened to Angela Roberts? You know, because you go away, you go bye-bye, especially if you change your email to match it. So those are things that everyone needs to be thinking about. And don't go out and erase your digital footprint if you're really trying to prove that you've been in the industry. And I know that's becoming a thing too, is people are like, well, let me just wipe my digital footprint free. Well, that's suspicious, because forklift drivers, people who work at Verizon and as bank tellers will wipe their digital footprint to show that they haven't had those experiences. And then we can't corroborate that you actually have clinical research experience. Mm-hmm.
I know every time we have this conversation, I go out and search myself and my past employments. And it's like tons of things come up with me and CRA Resources. Tons of things come up with me and the last company I worked with. So if you're erasing it, then we can't prove that you're real and we won't move forward with you. There's too many others we can choose from.
Yeah. And it's hard because in today's culture, you know, I really appreciate my privacy. I know some parts of the world are even more concerned about that privacy factor. You know, I don't love having my stuff strewn about the internet, but that's personal stuff. You know, if you've got your professional history out there, you want to make sure that that is clean and clear. If you are trying to be a consultant, as Angela said, perm is a little different. You know, you can run background checks and social security numbers and things like that, you know, when you come on as a perm. But for contractors, make sure that you can be found. Your brand is important, and that digital footprint search is a part of your brand. As Angela said, it's not just the resume, it's not just LinkedIn, it's also that. A last point we can talk about real quick is the brand, building a strong relationship with recruiters so they know who you are and can vouch for you too. So that's one other piece of the puzzle. How important is that piece, you guys?
Well, I actually had written that on there. I think it is very important because, I mean, I like just had a candidate email me saying, hey, who is my contact over at CRA Resources that I need to talk to about my contracts? And he's doing the right thing. He's wanting to establish that relationship so they know what he's looking for. And, you know, just having that relationship building skills. Therefore, we're going to look out for you a little bit more when new contracts open up. We know who you are. We've worked with you before. And it has to start somewhere. And until you start building a real, true, honest relationship with a recruiter, then you're really not, I don't think you're going to get anywhere, at least in the industry, as someone else trying to help you find a job.
It's interesting because I know that's the way that we look at it. I wonder how many people just roll their eyeballs back in the back of their head, though, because I know that a lot of recruiting agencies don't look at the recruitment industry the way that we do. We take our relationships really seriously. And whenever we represent someone, we go to battle for them. But we're also niched. You know, we only focus on one role. There's a lot of agencies that I call them soup to nuts. You know, they do everything under the sun. And it also has to do with how their recruiters and sourcers are held accountable. If they're held accountable to submits and placements, they don't give boo about the individuals that they're submitting or placing. They care about keeping their job by getting a certain number of submits and placements. You know, the co-founder of this company worked at a company like that, to where they would fire a recruiter. If they didn't meet their quota of submits that week, they were out. I mean, it's dog eat dog. And some industries are a lot worse than this one. You know, when I built this company, I built it on relationships. And we built it to be a different recruiting agency. We built it to be focused on doing the right thing and giving a crap about the people that we represent and that we support. Every agency is not like that. So I want to make sure that we do acknowledge the fact that we know that. But to Carrie's mm-hmm. point, if you can align yourself with an agency that cares about you, a recruiter and a sourcing team that cares about you, take advantage of it, grab a hold of it, let them get to know you and know what your career story and your trajectory is so that they can help you get where you want to go. Because that's a golden find. That's a relationship find that I think is extremely important.
I love that, Angela. Thank you for that. I think that's the perfect place to end. We are actually at our time, but that's a wonderful way to wrap it up. Thank you, team, for talking about this topic. I think it's important. We touched on a bunch of different things, but they all kind of wrap in to the same thing, aligning your resume with your history, your experience, your digital footprint, and how that translates to your interview process as well. So thank you all for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm.